This is Logan Sekulow. The NYPD does their job well and arrests more than 100 anti-Israel protesters at Columbia.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Let's do this right. It is a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? No, it's a Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
I did it
today.
Wrong right up front. It's a Wednesday. You know why I thought it was Tuesday? Because the next guest we have on in our next segment is Tulsi Gabbard. Her book just came out yesterday. That's what I was thinking. This book came out Tuesday. Tulsi Gabbard, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. We're going to have her on in the next segment. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be a really excellent interview. Usually we spend time with her talking about current events, what's happening around the world. This, we're going to dive into her book. Later on in the broadcast, we'll be joined by Mike Pompeo. So completely different point of view, another team member of the ACLJ. Then we're going to wrap it up later on, headed to our office in Jerusalem with Jeff Balaban. So it's going to be a packed show. And first and foremost, I want to say for all of you who watched yesterday, a big, gigantic thank you. We announced a new project that I'm working on that was 12 hours in the making when we announced it. And it was called For the Love of God, Save Our Country. And it's going to be coming out at Halloween this year, 5 days before the general election. We're going to take a little break from telling you too much about it because now we go to hard work. Because guess what? We had a goal. And I said that goal that I felt that number was impressed on me was $500,000, which is an amazing goal, a very difficult goal to reach. And we're in the middle of a matching challenge. So, you know, the goal would be $250,000 and get $250,000 matched. Well, I will tell you where we ended up at last night. We ended up pre-match, so just in individual donations, $434,000 in donations. That means $864,000 that came in, not only for that project, but really lit a fire. One of the biggest end of our, you know, matching months that we have had in for the month of April, the biggest day we've had in years. So it resonated with you, and clearly it resonated with me. So I wanted to say, first and foremost, just a gigantic thank you to all of you. Founding producers are going to have your names emblazoned on that special event that we're going to be releasing again this fall. So look forward to that. It really encouraged me that you guys care about this kind of topic as much as I do. And we're going to break that down. But we did want to kick off also and talk about what's happening in the protest, Will, because we saw the NYPD maybe do what they've been waiting to do for the last decade,
right,
maybe the last 5 years, since they feel like they haven't been able to do it. Now they're able to actually go and do their jobs as the boys in blue have always been able to do, but sadly for the last few years have been kept in the inability to do it. Now they're going to take an action.
And Mayor Adams had very strong language today about the outside agitators, even saying even if there are students, it doesn't necessarily mean the rot that comes from those outside agitators wasn't infecting these protests and encampments or whatever you want to call them on the campus. And he's very concerned about it radicalizing the young people of America. As a matter of fact, they had replaced an American flag on campus with a Palestinian flag. The police last night tore down the Palestinian flag and raised an American flag in its place. It almost called back the imagery of George W. Bush at Ground Zero after 9/11, where they raised the American flag amongst the rubble. It was a very patriotic feeling moment, but the police also did it without incident, really. Like, there wasn't mass fighting. There wasn't mass what they would then try to claim as police brutality. They were able to be very efficient, organized. They got to bring out what appeared to be a new truck that loaded people into the second floor of Hamilton Hall there on Columbia's campus. And really, they just did a great job of doing it in a organized, orderly manner without incident, really.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take your calls on this. Phone lines are already lighting up at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110 as we see these protests, some of them actually getting handled now. And look, we're all for peaceful protests. We believe in the rule of law in that sense. We really want you out there, you know, peacefully protesting. When it turns to chaos and violence, especially calling for death to a certain group of people, any group of people, we'll stand up against it. That is not the way it should be. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Coming up next, Tulsi Gabbard's going to be back on the broadcast talking about her new book, For Love of Country. And again, a big thank you to all of you who supported us in the month of April during our Life and Liberty Drive. It's just a humongous final day. We couldn't do it without you. Right back with Tulsi. Welcome back to Seculo. Again, Logan Seculo here today with Will Haynes as well, executive producer. I'm very excited. We have on Tulsi Gabbard every week, and it's really always an amazing insight of what's going on in the world. But I got the book right here. Your brand new book is out. I saw it at the stores today. For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. Let me show it up. We'll put up full screen. There you go. Tulsi, I'm just going to give you a minute here. Just tell us about this book and why. Obviously, our listeners and viewers have been watching you over the years, but what kind of different insight comes out of this book?
Yeah, thank you so much, Logan. It's great to see you and great to speak to all of your listeners. Really, this book, For Love of Country, really, it came from my decision to leave the Democratic Party and the response that I got from people all across the country who were saying, thank you for having the courage to say what I have been too afraid to say in the society of self-censorship and cancellation and smearing. There are a lot of folks across the country who feel politically homeless, who are frustrated and disheartened by what the Biden-Harris administration, the Democrat elite, are doing to our country, both in domestic policy, everything from the economy to wide open borders with people illegally entering our country every single day, to what's happening with our kids in our schools. And then you look at what's happening around the world with our foreign policy and how in almost every region of the world, we are either at war or on the brink of war, what to speak of the increasing risk of nuclear catastrophe in World War III. So this book will give people some insight into some of the experiences that I had serving in Congress as a Democrat for 8 years under both President Obama and President Trump. Serving as a vice chair of the DNC, what that phone call was like when I was a member of Congress sworn in for about 2 weeks when my phone rang and I was asked to serve as vice chair of the DNC, and my experiences serving at war in different parts of the world, how that shaped my views and changed me as a person. I go into in the book my experiences of being a Democrat running for president in 2020 in that presidential primary, and better than having first row seats, I experienced the collusion between the Democrat elite, the mainstream propaganda media, and big tech, and how they have been and continue to try to undermine our democracy. For Love of Country is really a call to action to people who love our country, who cherish peace and freedom. And it specifically reaches out to those, you know, your listeners. They're listening to you, so they know more about what's going on in the country and the world than many others. But I guarantee you have people in your life who are busy. Maybe they're not paying attention. Maybe they don't quite know where they belong politically. This book is for them, to let them know how important it is that we come together as Americans first, regardless of political affiliation, or frankly, how we may agree or disagree on views. If you cherish peace and you cherish freedom, I urge you to read this book, and you may find yourself feeling both disheartened as I have been, but hopeful in knowing that you're not alone. We, the people, are the only way we save our country, defend our republic, and defend our fundamental freedoms in this upcoming election. So the book just came out yesterday. I appreciate the opportunity to share this with you, your viewers, and your listeners. I have no doubt the New York Times is going to try to ban this book from their bestseller list, so I want to ask for your support. You can order this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or get a signed copy from TulsiGabbard.com.
Obviously, and there's some other, you know, topics going on, but this book I think is very important. As you said, there's a lot of people who feel that political homelessness. I know with a lot of my wife and a lot of her friends, you know, I'm in sort of a group of women typically that are in from their mid-30s or mid-40s, and I feel like they are, especially they're traditionally, you know, maybe conservative Christian women even, and they feel still as moms and dealing with different kind of issues, a bit of that. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to vote. I don't know who to vote for. I don't know what actually represents me. And I like that your book takes that on a bit too, and that your platforms have always done that, which is to speak to people in a way. And you see that. You go to Barnes & Noble, by the way. There was a big display I got to see, which is very cool. So I know Will's got a question, though.
Yeah, you write in the book that you joined the Democrat Party in Hawaii in 2002 because you saw a party that at the time appeared to be the party of the people, a party that valued free speech, welcoming all comers into a big tent where the sharing of diverse opinions and views on issues was encouraged. And then you go on to write that the party you joined over 20 years ago no longer exists today. When did you really start to see the shift in the party that you had joined and the views that you thought it espoused and what it is today?
Well, you know, it happened slowly over time and then a rapid escalation. One of the things that I started to begin to see the insanity, frankly, was when President Trump got elected. When he won that election in 2016, I was the first Democrat to go and meet with him in Trump Tower. I'm in New York City right now. It's right down the street because I was invited to speak to him about foreign policy. I served on the Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committees, and I had the opportunity to speak to the next president of the United States about how we tackle radical Islamist terrorism and defeat it, both kinetically and ideologically. The response from the Democrat elite, my former colleagues in Congress, was surprising. They were angry at me for meeting with Donald Trump because they said, how dare you humanize this man? This kind of what we now call Trump derangement syndrome began back then, and it led to this crazy escalation of illogical, irrational policies and thinking that has put us in this very place today where our fundamental freedoms are being threatened. Our democracy is being threatened because they're afraid of losing power and they're afraid of Donald Trump getting reelected because they know that he doesn't care about permanent Washington establishment and that he will do all he can to try to root out that corruption and that rot.
I think that's an interesting point that you bring up because in politics, you'd think historically, the idea of working in a bipartisan way and to meet with a president, regardless of their political party, would be, you know, common sense, would be normal. I mean, we did it. I mean, when we had a pastor who was imprisoned in Iran, we set up a meeting with his family and who was the president at the time? Barack Obama. Not because we thought Barack Obama was the greatest president of all time, but in the moment, guess who we needed? We needed the political forces in the White House to go and advocate in that way. But now we live in a world where you can't even have that conversation. But I like that. Look at the back of your book. And obviously there are blurbs from people like Tucker, Pete Hegseth, the local Nashville guy. But then you have Meghan McCain, you got Joe Rogan, obviously. And it gives you it shows that you are doing this actively.
Yeah. There is so much opportunity for us to come together as a country at a time when we are being divided intentionally by those in power, because they know that if we stand together as free people celebrating our freedom in the United States of America, making our own decisions for ourselves, we are the greatest threat to their power. And so we start by having dialogue with each other. We start by understanding that if we come together to defend our freedom, this is how we save our country and begin the tough work of getting our country back on track.
Well, before we wrap up with your segment here, Tulsi, I did just want to give you that another opportunity, let people know how they can get the book, obviously wherever books are sold, I'm sure. But it's an important time. You're going to see a lot of political books come out over the next few months. That's just what happens. It's the season of that. But your book stands out. And what it stands out, because the cover art, which I said, I wonder who did this cover art. I flip through and I go, oh, look who it is. You know, your husband, which is amazing. He always does an incredible job on all of your work. And we love working with him. But it's important for these kind of books to stand out because you're going to see a lot. But your book is there and it's available now.
It is available now. And thanks for the shout out to my husband. He didn't know that his name was going to be printed in the book as a credit, but he took that picture on the National Mall where you have that circle of flags around the monument there. I also recorded the audiobook. I narrated it myself. So if you're not doing the hardcover book thing, you prefer audiobooks, the audiobook is available as well. Again, I appreciate your support. Even if you are already bought into the mission, consider buying the book because it will send a strong message to the Democrat elite that we stand together and we will not allow them to silence us.
Tulsi so much for joining us again. Tulsi Gabbard, for Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. Book is available in all stores nationwide. You can obviously get it on whatever platform, or like she said, you can get a signed copy direct from her. And I'm going to download the audiobook. I'm an audiobook guy. I'm going to be honest. I'm in the car a lot. I do a lot of carpools, a lot of pickups. So you know what? It'll be great. I'm a podcast listener, so I'm going to get the audiobook as well. I mean, I got the hard copy right here. But thank you, Tulsi, for joining us. Hey, I want to hear from you. We got a lot of guests coming up. 1-800-684-3110. We got a packed show, but that doesn't mean we're not going to hear from you. And again, I have to thank all of you who supported us during that Life and Liberty drive, and specifically the amazing support we had yesterday. It really did our hearts good, to be honest, to see so many of you come out and support. We announced the project. We're gonna find out more about that a little bit later. You know, now we go into development. Now we go into production. It's going to be a road in front of us, but we appreciate that. I'm going to say thank you as many times as I can. Again, pick up Tulsi's book, For Love of Country, right now, available. And then we will be right back with more guests, more packed show. We're continue also talking about those protests that are happening still around the country. We'll be right back on Seculo. Welcome back to Secular. We're joined by Mike Pompeo, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs here at the ACLJ. Secretary Pompeo, I did want to just start off because we have been spending the last 2 months doing the Life and Liberty Drive fundraiser for the ACLJ. And I want to say thank you for all of your help during it. And obviously, a thanks to everyone who gave and everyone who supported. But we are seeing right now what's happening on our college campuses. But we saw what happened last night at Columbia. Obviously, the NYPD took action. And I guess that big question is, what took so long?
Look, I think that is an important question. I'm glad it happened when it did. I wish that it happened when the law breaking had begun. There is an enormous wellspring in these universities that is consistent with this understanding of anti-Semitism. So I think, first of all, the administrations were sympathetic to these thugs, to these people who broke the law. Second, I think because you have no national leadership, what you see happening all across the country, that everyone's focused on New York. I get it. Great pictures from Columbia, right, about what was actually going on. But this is now happening all across the country. And you have President Biden sitting in the basement of the White House, not saying a single word about the threat to our democracy. The fact that these folks ran Palestinian flags up the flagpole and took down the American flag. That is a national challenge. With American leadership, national leadership from the White House, I am confident that this would have ended sooner. And then finally, you have to ask, why hasn't President Biden spoken? I think it's pretty clear. He is worried about angering his base. The handful of radical pro-Hamas leftist progressives have now taken control of the Democrat Party. And this will have impact not only at the national level, but all across the country. You can see Democrats cowering because they now believe that they are going to be attacked by these pro-Hamas people who are so far out that I don't even think President Obama would have abided by this. But President Biden has decided hook, line, and sinker to go down that path.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. And it seems like some of these universities, they were caught in a weird spot where they felt like they couldn't shut this down earlier, where maybe they were scared. They didn't know what to do. And honestly, it seems like they went from scared to, how did this happen? Very quickly. They went from, oh, we'll let them set up some tents. This will go away in a day, in 2 days. And then all of a sudden, this is where it ends up with the NYPD having to essentially storm in, arrest hundreds of people, some students. Some of the universities have to wake up to also what's going on their own campuses.
Yeah. Look, I actually think they knew. I think they knew that some of this was their students, but that some of this was being funded, underwritten, organized, trained by outside forces that have been part of protest movements all across the country, bad actors who are truly trying to undermine our very republic. I think they saw that. I think the police forces knew that and were telling them. I saw the NYPD briefing this morning. Clearly, they were aware that this wasn't just a bunch of young kids who'd gotten together at their local club and decided, hey, let's go take over a building. And then they became petrified that the response, if something happened while the law enforcement people were rightfully taking back the property of the University of Columbia, that they would be held accountable for that. That's a mistake. That's the same mistake President Biden is making in Gaza today. Concerned that if the Israelis actually do the task that's needed to do to secure their nation, just like these presidents should have secured their campuses, these are deep parallels. And this is a national challenge that President Biden has to step up and say, we are going to stop terrorists, whether we find them on our college campuses or if the Israelis find them killing 1,000 of their people and still holding Americans hostage. We're going to support the people who are the good people, and we're going to crush evil wherever we find it.
Mr. Secretary, you referenced that NYPD press conference this morning, and they did share a lot of intel, it seemed, that they knew specific people that were there that were outside agitators. But it struck me that Mayor Adams, who he himself was former NYPD commissioner, that he seems to be one of the lone Democrat voices other than some members of Congress that are really speaking out about what he's seeing here. And he even said that I'm going to protect our city from those who are attempting to do what is happening globally. There's a movement to radicalize young people. Do you think he's right in that assessment of what he's seeing?
100%. And sadly, I say this as a sadly, it's pretty courageous for him to say that as a Democrat. Shouldn't be courageous to say something like to acknowledge what's really taking place on our campuses, that this is a national effort underwritten globally. These protests, I am confident, will spread to European campuses as well. We'll probably see it all across the world. For him to say that is good. He found his voice when he talked about putting the American flag back atop that flagpole. I think he found his voice. This shouldn't be partisan. This shouldn't be about politics. This should be about the fundamental right for people to exercise their freedoms. But when they cross the line, when they threaten other students, when colleges have to respond by canceling graduation or closing campuses, and they begin to destroy property and deny the other students their right to get an education, that's no longer about free speech. This is about the rule of law. And for him to step up today and say he supports that is great. I can't wait to see Senator Schumer, President Biden echo those same remarks. I suspect we likely won't.
The Biden administration also, Secretary Pompeo, has started to kind of float the idea that they may want to resettle some of the refugees from Gaza into the United States. Obviously, there's a lot of going to be conflicting thoughts on that, but I wanted to get your thoughts and your reaction to it.
Absolutely nuts. There's a reason that the Jordanians won't allow these people to cross into their country. There's a reason the Egyptians have said, no, thank you. Not a single refugee from Gaza is going to be permitted to come into our country, because these people are dangerous and you can't vet them and you can't figure out who just the ordinary families who are trying to flee for a better life are and who the members of Hamas are. And that absence of capacity to vet will be something we can't do either. And so to even contemplate allowing potential terrorists to come into our country is dangerous. It is fraught. By the way, it encourages Hamas to continue their terror, because if they can have some of these people leave, that frankly, if some of the families leave, that they'd be happy to do that. They want more people inside of that place who are aligned with them. And if someone decides they want to flee, so be it. Hamas has every intention of coming out of this conflict with Israel, the conflict that they began on October 7th. They think they're going to win because the Biden administration continues to accommodate and appease instead of supporting Israel in its effort to rid this world of these Iranian-supported terrorists.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Secretary Pompeo. And again, thanks to all of you who are watching right now, because you get to hear these incredible voices because of your support. And again, right now, it's just me telling you thank you, because we had such an amazing couple months, an amazing month of April, during a time when I know the economy could be stronger. We could have a better situation happening around the world. You guys show up when needed the most, whether that's brand new ACLJ champions, which I think we had over 100 brand new champions yesterday. Those are people that are saying, I will give a monthly support. I'll give on a recurring basis. Again, I just wanted to say thank you. As we head into this second half hour, make sure you don't lose us. If you are on social media, you're good to go. So if you're watching us on Facebook or on X, or if you're watching us on YouTube or our favorite Rumble, our the free speech platform, if you're on any of those, you're good. You get the full hour right here. If you're on local radio, some of your radio stations don't carry the full hour. Some do. Join us live. We broadcast this show each and every day. Maybe you're hearing us later on taped at aclj.org. You can find us broadcasting live each and every day at noon Eastern time. As more and more people want live coverage, I encourage you to watch us live. Do it every day if you can. We'll give you these great, great information from people like Tulsi Gabbard, Secretary Pompeo. And coming up the second half hour, we're going to talk to the head of our office in Jerusalem, Jeff Balaban, about the situations obviously unfolding in Israel and the ICC and the arrest warrants that are potentially going to be issued for Benjamin Netanyahu. We're going to talk about that coming up in the second half hour. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. This break is less than a minute, so you really have no excuse to leave. So hang out with us. During that 1 minute, though, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm just going to, or on Rumble, tell me where you're watching from. I always like that. I like to read, see how worldwide we reach. It's really amazing. Then you all can see what your work does. When you support the work of the ACLJ, you get to see the reach of it. Put it in the comments. I'm going to read all of them. We'll be back in less than a minute on Seculum.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculum. And now your host, Logan Seculum.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up. We're going to be hopping over to Jeff Balaban in the next segment in our office. He runs our office in Jerusalem, so we're going to have some great coverage there. But I wanted to lead off this second half hour with some voices that you may recognize because they're your own. Let's go to Daniel, who's calling in Nevada on line one. You're on the air.
Hello. Hey, I was pondering on what those students were saying at that college. You know, if that's not hate speech, you know, nobody even brings that up. You know, that nobody's ever, I mean, they beat up everybody else on the other side for any little, not even a...
Daniel, it's only hate speech when it's not the position that the mainstream media likes.
Right.
It is hate speech, of course. Of course this is. If there is going to be a definition of hate speech, of course, chanting death to Jews, death to Israel, death to Zionists, which again, I keep trying to push that because they've made Zionist into a dirty word, and all it is the word saying... you support the existence of Israel. And guess who is that? Probably you. Probably the majority of evangelical Christians who listen to this show, who watch us every day on YouTube or Rumble. Not saying all of you, but a good chunk of you are. So they're calling for the death to you as well. So, Daniel, do people bring up that this is hate speech? Sure, absolutely. I'd even say you could probably find clips of the Biden administration from Karanji Javier saying that they do not condone any kind of hate speech that would be going on towards Jewish students. The problem is their definition of hate speech gets a little fuzzy. We had that happen last year with the Ivy League students or heads of the Ivy League schools were brought up and they said, well, do you not think this is hate speech? Well, or targeting your Jewish students? Well, they're calling for the death to Jews, not death to that Jew. So it's a little broad. I mean, legitimately, these are the conversations that are happening.
The ability of the liberal elite in academia to play word gymnastics is astounding. The fact that even as these protests grew, and we knew where it would go, we were even given some of the protesters a little bit too much credit back then, saying they probably don't know what they mean when they say from the river to the sea. Maybe they don't know really about Hamas. They just found out about this crisis, and now it's their cause du jour. And maybe they don't know, but no, they knew. They knew all along. Now they are fully embracing Hamas. They are calling on the military wing of Hamas to strike Tel Aviv in some of their chants. They are saying things, putting new signs on university buildings saying Intifada Hall. They know what all this means.
Yeah.
They know this means violent, terroristic uprising against Jews. There's nothing about that that you can even remotely start to wiggle out of. It's not hate speech. It's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And then really what we'll do is probably in the next segment, maybe we'll take some with Jeff as well. The final segment of the show, which is in just about 12 minutes, not very long from now, we're going to take as many calls as we can. We're also going to discuss a bit about the two House Republicans who have announced a plan to oust Speaker House Speaker Johnson only 6 months after he took the gavel. And maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. We've had him on this broadcast before, and I'm curious your thoughts on that as well. So we're going to take that coming up towards the end. So if you want to talk about that, if you want to talk about Israel, if you want to talk about the protests, if you want to talk about wanting to pick up Tulsi Gabbard's new book, I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. And with this last minute before we go to break, I just did want to again say thank you. I know I've done that before. Usually this is where I put my pitch. No pitch today. I'm just saying thank you. The overwhelming response we had yesterday broke records. Like I told you, my goal that I felt that God impressed onto me was to say that we wanted to raise $500,000 yesterday to launch this brand new project. And what happened? Not only did we, and it was a match, so our goal was really, our goal was to raise $250,000 and then match it, and then you'd have $500,000. We succeeded over $400,000. In donations and ended up with over, I think it was $864,000 or something like that. Some incredible number that I can't even fathom. And we couldn't do it without you. So I just have to say Thank you. That project now is greenlit. Your names are all going to be in the credits. I can't wait to get involved. The next thing after this is a meeting I have to discuss what it's going to look like and how we're going to get it out there to so many people. And we couldn't do that without you. So once again, a gigantic thank you. Right back with Jeff Balaban. Welcome back to Secula. We are now taking you to Jeff Balaban, who runs our office in Jerusalem. Currently, obviously, we just came off of the Passover holiday, and all of this, of course, Jeff, has to all happen all at once when there are these, you know, what should be the days when families get together, when you have these family traditions and a time of next year in Jerusalem. And as a kid growing up hearing that, I knew what it meant, but maybe a little less than I do now, or it means more to me now than it did then, because growing up in the 80s and 90s, early 2000s, that wasn't a stretch. We could go and celebrate in Jerusalem. No big deal. And now we are seeing this. And at the same time, you have the ICC now threatening the arrest or calling for the arrest of Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Well, Logan, you're right. And of course, we just did come out of the Passover holiday. And one of the most famous lines in this tradition that goes back thousands and thousands of years to the Exodus itself, one of the most famous lines in the book, the Haggadah, that the Jewish families read, is that in every generation they arise to destroy us, but God saves us. That doesn't mean that Jews don't get killed on the way, but the nation of Israel lives on. And that's what we're confronting right now. It's clear they've risen up against us. And, you know, the form it takes, you also see, again, going back to the Bible, you see it, Pharaoh rises up. What does he do? He legislates. He uses the law. He perverts the law. And that's what's happening now around the world. All these groups, the International Criminal Court, the UN, all these, you know, these bodies that have the imprimatur of law, as though international law somehow confers morality or decency or goodness, have twisted them to pervert justice against the Jewish people. And by the way, the Bible talks about that also. There's actually, in Deuteronomy, there's a commandment not to use the law to pervert justice. And that's exactly what we see happening now.
Jeff, you sent me a video, while we were on air, and I want to tie it to this because there were reports out that the White House is considering accepting some Palestinian refugees from Gaza to the United States. We had Mike Pompeo on earlier. He said that is absolutely nuts. He was very strong in the condemnation for that plan because we know that Jordan will not take those refugees. We know Egypt will not. We will not be able to vet them. But the video you sent me was of have to be Hamas leaders teaching young children how to use the MRE and food aid packaging that we send over into making IEDs, improvised explosion devices. And if it's from the top to the bottom to the children, how would we ever vet refugees?
Well, let me just make one slight correction to that. We do need to see this video. I don't know if you're going to show it or someone make it available. We don't know that it's Hamas. In other words, the idea that this is a war between Israel and Hamas has been said from the beginning, but it's simply not true. We know that the vast majority, as in well over 80% of the people who call themselves Palestinians, also support all-out genocide, support what happened on October 7th, all of those atrocities, support it before, support it after. And so we don't know. In fact, we know that of the thousands who came over the border into Israel, they were not all Hamas. And if you see, here's the video right now. They're teaching them how to use what we are sending, America sending. They call it humanitarian aid. They use it to turn to little kids how to make bombs, IEDs.
It's just horrifying when you watch this footage, when you see what's actually coming on. Again, don't believe the narrative. Don't believe the hype that you see, whether it's from these college campuses, whether it's from our mainstream media, even from some of your churches and maybe sort of the more progressive churches that I've seen. Well, Israel isn't what the Israel you're thinking of. It starts to also float into that world of almost anti-Semitism because they start, you know, claiming, well, who are the real, you know, Jewish people? And that conversation starts happening. And all it is a narrative, a false narrative being preached by a world that just wants to see the Jewish people erased. And the big problem about that, though we've always fought back, as you said, and always won at that point, is that now it's happening on American soil in a way that I don't believe has ever happened before.
Oh, it has never happened before on American soil like this, in any way, shape, or form. It's gotten to the point where, you know, people are afraid to walk around being visibly Jewish, walk around with a yarmulke or around the Star of David. Christians who support Israel are afraid to walk around showing that their support for Israel in many parts of the country. And yes, this is a false narrative that's going around. And the truth is, the enemies of the Jews, who also tell us they are the enemies of America, they say on these campuses, they're chanting death to America. They also say, we love death more than you love life. Believe them when they say it.
Well, and as a matter of fact, you sent me another video on campus at UCLA where it was a Jewish student was being hunted down, it appeared. It was protesters, pro-Hamas terrorists, whatever you want to call them, in keffiyehs, surrounding and chasing down a Jewish student and terrorizing this Jewish student on the campus of an American university.
It's a shocking, horrific video, and it's hard to say shocking anymore these days. But someone was videotaping this. They're literally doing. First of all, the keffiyeh, this thing they drape over their faces and heads, that is not a religious symbol. People think they're wrong about that. That is a terrorist symbol that is popularized by Yasser Arafat, one of the master terrorists. That is a terrorist symbol. So every Jew knows what this means. They're coming to kill us, and they're surrounding Jewish students, and they're chasing them down. They're hunting them down. On American campuses, this is a public university today in 2024 in the United States.
Yeah, Jeff, it is an ongoing, I'm looking at it right now. We're seeing a video that's being played where there are students trying to just restore American flags on campuses that have been replaced by Palestinian flags or these Hamas sympathizers. And we do feel that way. And we do feel that way. I've been saying this now is now when there's the chance of death to Zionists and death to Zionism, it no longer, it did mean, by the way, I still believe it does. It is an anti-Semitic thing. They are saying death to Jews. But now also being essentially lumped into that is also most evangelical Christians, people who support Israel at all. And now it's if you have any sort of support. And I got to give it up to the handful of celebrities that I've seen who really, really don't either really care or they can't be silenced. You know, they can't be silenced. They have been so successful, they can't be silenced because they're seeing what's happening on these college campuses. But still, there is a general feeling of unsurety, and they don't know what to say. And now you have the ICC issuing, or at least threatening issuing arrests for your leaders in Israel. It is still a very intense time. And I think people need to understand how serious that kind of thing is.
Yeah. I mean, Logan, I saw on social media somebody say, you know what, this is just, you know, the Jews and the Muslims going at each other while we Christians are just trying to be on college and get along. And why don't we just throw them all out? Like, that is so blind to what's happening here. These pro-Hamas students, these pro-jihad students, they're the ones who are saying death to America. And they're very clear that America is the great Satan. Israel is just the appetizer. America is what they want. They want to dominate America. Christians are the target here. Make no mistake, it always starts with the Jews. It never ends with the Jews. And that's exactly what's happening here on campus. And to deny that is simply to be in denial about a life and death situation for our civilization right now in America.
Yeah, and there's always these like narratives being spun about how the Christian people, they don't really care about what's going on in Israel. They have their own reasons of why they believe. And that is, again, one of those narratives that gets spread that I've never met anyone. And I've been involved in evangelical Christianity my entire life. And I've never met anyone who goes and supports Israel for more than just the reason of they support that. Well, number one, it's obviously the biblical Holy Land. It is where our holy scriptures also take place. So yeah, I'm feeling that we care a little bit about Israel, but also they have seen the support and we have seen a connection between even American Jews and Christians in a way that doesn't exist in a lot of other religions. So it is an amazing thing to see, but don't believe the hype. Don't fall into these narratives. And Will, when you see it happening, and a lot of people are calling right now, so I did want to say, we got two lines open, 1-800-684-3110. In just 2 minutes, I'm going to start taking those calls. So stay on hold and then call in if you have a chance. We'd love to hear from you.
That's right. And it really just is devastating to see what is taking place on American university campuses and what's taking place in the streets of and how quickly it's spreading as well. It's not like this is slowing down. Fortunately, the NYPD were able to make a show of force last night in a way that can't be criticized as police brutality or some narrative from the left. But the unfortunate nature is that it is still spreading. And that's what concerns me, Jeff.
Yeah, this is a cultural phenomenon that didn't start on October 7th or the day after. It's been building for decades. This idea that the Jews are somehow specially privileged and oppressors, and it's part of progressive mentality, and it's completely taken over this culture, so that the Jews are the bad guys no matter what they do. So if the Jews are raped, it's their own fault. The Jews are murdered and kidnapped, it's their own fault. And that's exactly what they're being taught in a university. And it's not just the students, it's the faculty, it's the administration. And so they've been fostering this for years.
I mean, a video literally just popped up on my social media feed that says why American Christianity, American Zionism is actually anti-Semitic. So that's, again, that is the narrative that's going to be pushed among a lot of young people, which is not even within the church. So you have to be very careful. Be very vigilant. Coming up, thank you, Jeff, always, and a late happy Passover. Hope you have a great rest of your week. We will be back in just a minute taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Put some comments in on social. I'll look at those as well during the break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. I did want to kick off this segment by taking as many calls as we can. Then we're going to try to move on to some more discussions on what's going on in the political world and the calls for the ousting of Speaker Johnson by people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. What's happening right now? Let's go ahead and take some phone calls, though, first. A lot of you have been on hold for a long time. Anthony's calling in Florida on line 3. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Two things before my question. I want to thank you guys there, everybody there, for standing for moral principles, for fighting for us, and also for a relevant and factual news, which are the local TV news stations down in Tampa fail to do, and commend that young Jewish student in UCLA for standing in a symbolic David against the Philistine thugs that kept him from going in onto the campus.
Sure.
Question, where sporting events don't allow anybody entrance to have the full facial mask covering, why in the world do they allow these guys on campus? They should be ousted the minute they're seen. Incredible. Can you guys educate me on what the policies are on these campuses? Beyond belief.
Yeah, Anthony, I probably think they make their own policy somewhat of what that looks like specifically when it comes to this. And technically, they are protesting on private property, so they're already raking rules often. Right. You know, the rules are already being violated, and they don't have an area set up saying, here's where your protest space is. Now, some schools do have that. They have sort of a free speech zone that they've built. But a lot of these have been technically taken over. The question is how you handle it. And of course, this is the side of the aisle that seems to always cover their face to not have any long-term ramifications, or because guess what? They're not actually students there.
I honestly think, though, part of the reason why they are getting away with it, at least at the outset, before it completely takes over and out of control, is because many of the people in these administrations agree with them.
Yeah, a lot of faculty.
The president of Columbia was criticized. They found a speech she gave when she worked, I believe, for the World Economic Forum after 9/11 and was saying, you know, the problem is that terrorism is a form of protest. And so a lot of people will be drawn to it because it is a form of protest. So calling terrorism, 9/11 terrorism, a protest.
You should be imprisoned.
Right.
So you know what? Go ahead and protest. You know what? Take them off to jail. Straight to jail. Just do that. That should be the answer. Straight to jail. Let's go ahead and continue on. Let's go to John, who's calling in Texas on the radio, listening on the radio. You're on the air.
Oh, love your show, man.
Thank you.
We all knew when these borders were open, the troublemakers were going to be coming across. And now that they're here, they're chanting death to America. Do we have anything in place that now deports these people, or is our administration just going to turn them loose back to America again?
I'm sure there's some of that, man. But also, sadly, this is a lot of well-educated liberal elite kids who are out there doing this. So as much as it would be nice to be like, okay, very easy answer. If this is a group of people that are here not legally, we can deport them. We can get rid of them. You know what this is, though? This is America. You are allowed to have a freedom of speech. You are allowed to do this. But guess what? We're seeing mass arrests happening now as it's getting out of hand. But I think the sad part about this, though, they may not all be students. There is still a large portion of them that are certainly American citizens.
The NYPD did infer that they started noticing some things among the encampment some tactics, some strategies, several things, and some people who they knew.
Yeah.
So they are regulars that have been doing, whether it started back with the BLM protest, the Mayor Adams even made reference to that, that some of these people are repeat offenders, if you will.
It's just a new cause. Antifa without saying Antifa.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, they're just people who show up all the time. We don't know what to call them. They wear masks. They have bats.
They're anti-fascism fascists. Exactly. So.
All right. Continuing on. Thank you, by the way, for calling in. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming. He's always watching, always listening. We appreciate you, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I remember the student protests back in when I was in high school, where they were taking over the college campuses. When I was in tech school, I saw a bunch of, we went through there, and apparently they were giving us awful dirty looks. And all that happened back then just makes that look like a peaceful picnic compared to what's happening today. And I got to tell you, I'm definitely pro Netanyahu because of that.
Yeah, Bill. I mean, obviously there was the protests. I mean, I was not around, but I've seen obviously plenty of videos of the protests that happened, following Vietnam and all of those situations.
And the difference with those is that they at least were protesting a war that the United States was in.
Right.
And you could at least, whether or not you agree with the sentiment, at least they were saying, like, I don't want to be sent to war.
Right.
This one, they're just saying effectively that they hate Israel and the Jewish people.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit different there. But Bill, I did see, it was like a meme that popped up and it said something in effect, and I believe it's kind of true. And it said something in effect of metalheads are nice people cosplaying as mean people, and hippies are mean people cosplaying as nice people. And I think that's what we're seeing right now on these college campuses. Why? Because you got the lead singer of Disturbed out there saying, we got to support Israel. You got the creators of Entourage going out there saying, we got to support Israel. And on the other side, you got Susan Sarandon out there saying, the babies in ovens didn't happen. That's just propaganda. Again, like you said, why are we even getting involved? Why would you even want to make that statement? That is so insane. Let's continue on. Tim is calling California on the radio. Tim, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
How do we get Congress to cut off the money to some of these colleges that allow violent protests where property is being destroyed, people's lives are being threatened? I can't understand why Congress won't do its job and cut off money to the colleges that allow this violent protest to take place.
Tim, a group of U.S. senators actually gave a press conference right before we went on air, and I caught the tail end of it. But I do believe there is a move in Congress right now that there's similar legislation in both houses that are trying to get forward that would do effectively some of that work. Now, the problem is, it actually shouldn't even have to be Congress. The Secretary of Education already fully has the authority to say, look, you're violating Title VII, you're violating Title IX, you're violating all these things where your students aren't being protected, their civil rights aren't being protected, we're going to cut off our federal funding to you. Yeah. That could have been done months ago, but unfortunately, it has not. So now Congress is having to step up and enforce that issue.
And Tim, I have to say, a lot of these college campuses or these college faculties and the deans have said, you know what? We're not bowing to the demands of these terrorist students. We're actually going to keep supporting. We're not divesting from Israel. So you know what? You also got to stand up for some of those who have made the right decision. Let's continue on and go to David in New York. Last call of the day. David, you got to keep it quick.
Okay. Thank you for everything. I've been an adjunct teacher and adjunct professor to PhD candidates. I left a message and also wrote to the president of Columbia, and I told her, you do have an option. You didn't run out. You go out there and you tell them, you signed or you acknowledged a code of conduct and ethics when you came to this university 4 years ago. You're violating it. The option is you get out Friday or we're going to expel every one of you. And if my son was going there and about to graduate and they didn't have the ceremony, I'd make them all wish they knew I was never born. I'd sue the president, the school, the chair, the master, the professor, the students. I'd sue every one of them if he couldn't have his graduation.
Yeah, look, a lot of them are losing that. We saw which school canceled today? There was a school, that UCLA. Said yeah. No.
They canceled class today.
No class today.
Yeah.
As a wrap, I'm sure they're in finals. I mean, it's a ridiculous time in America. I did want to take this last 30 seconds before we wrap up for the day. And again, just to say thank you. We had an amazing day yesterday, and it couldn't have done it without you. We've got the new project, For the Love of God, Save Our Country. It's going to be coming out this fall. but we were able to get the funding for it just yesterday. We're going to keep talking about it. Maybe it'll even make it bigger and bigger. But we are now, immediately after this, me, Will, Bart, one of our creative team here, members here, we're going to go all sit in a room and we're going to figure out what this is going to look like. And then we're going to figure out how we're going to reach people and where it's going to go. And we can't do that without your support. And we just thank you so, so much. And we will be back tomorrow.